Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. Joining me today is Sherry Rice and Tara DeYoung, who are both Master Gardeners involved with the Connie Hansen Garden, which we'll be discussing today. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Would you start us off with a brief history of how the garden came to be?
In 1973, Connie Hansen came from California, where she was a botanist and had lived for most of her life, but originally she lived in Oregon for a little while when she was a child. So she wanted to find a place after she retired to have a garden in Oregon. And she found what she liked in Lincoln City and moved there in 1973. And she lived there until 1993 when she passed away. Mm-hmm. At that time, the conservancy was started. The house was for sale and the land, and people decided in Lincoln City that they wanted to keep it as a garden and not let it go to development.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to buy it and form the conservancy in 1993, and it's been that way ever since.
That's a lovely story. Wow, that's heartwarming. Thank you. What style and botanical focuses does the garden generally have?
It's kind of an urban coastal garden. It's made up of two city lots, mm-hmm. and there's a stream that runs through it, which is a little bit unique. Mm-hmm. And there's quite a bit of topography to it. For Connie, that was nice because she liked to grow irises and she liked to grow rhododendrons, and they both do very well in those type of conditions. There's a lot of mature trees there. There's a huge Sitka spruce, which kind of showcases the center of the garden. Mm-hmm. And just a huge variety of rhododendrons. That's kind of what we are known for, or the garden is known for, is all the different types of rhododendrons. And fewer now than there used to be, but there still are mm-hmm. great, great old species.
Mm-hmm. That's the claim to fame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What got each of you involved in the garden?
Well, I took a little stroll a long time ago through it and thought it was pretty cool. And then when my husband and I moved here after we retired, a neighbor of mine was active in the garden, and she asked if I wanted to be a hostess in the gift shop. And I thought, well, that sounds fun. So from that, it morphed into being on the board of directors as the activity director. And then I was the secretary for the board of directors, and now I am the president of the board. So once you say you like something and believe in it, and I do, I think it is a really nice place and a beautiful garden and an asset to Lincoln City.
Well, the retirement theme comes into play for me too, because I retired a couple of years ago and I knew I needed some activities to keep me busy, and I like to garden and I like to learn more about gardening. So I decided one Tuesday to drop by, because Tuesday is the garden work day. They were delighted to see me. It's a fairly small group of gardeners that work there. They all have a ton of knowledge, and they gained that knowledge through years on this planet. So that kind of gives you an idea of, you know, the makeup of the crew. So you can learn a lot from this group because they're, you know, pretty knowledgeable, and you get the opportunity to be in a really special place and, you know, do a lot of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are each of your favorite plants that grow in the garden or spot in the garden?
My favorite is a rhododendron called Coastal Spice. Mm. And it is near a bench in the garden. And I didn't even know that rhodies could smell as good as this one does. It just wafts through the garden. So if you're walking through and you start looking around to figure out what smells so good. It is a delightful rhododendron, and it's pretty too. Mm-hmm. It's white with kind of pink edges. The plant itself is pretty cool because the leaves have indumentum on the bottom side of the leaf. So it's green on the top and kind of brown on the bottoms. And a lot of people ask about it. If you're in the house or out in the garden, they want to know what it is.
For the smell.
Yes.
The smell is really, it really travels across
yes.
the garden. Huh. Well, I kind of like the heather bed. There's an area of the garden that is planted into a variety of different heathers. And it's interesting because it's really textural. There's a lot of different colors. And I knew almost nothing about heathers, and I still don't know a lot. But I didn't realize their blooming pattern was as varied as what it is. So there are times of the year where it really has a lot of color, and then there are times of the year where it's just that kind of flowing shape of everything and the way they've been trimmed. So that's a fun spot. Coincidentally, there's a nice seating spot right next door to it, so you can kind of crash and enjoy it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned earlier the rhododendrons and that there's a little bit less now than there used to be. Would you walk me through what happened there?
Well, I think it was in 2022. People from the Oregon Department of Agriculture visited the garden. We don't know exactly how they had gotten wind of a problem in our area, but they came and tested every rhododendron on the property. Mm. And they tagged them, ones that had the virus and ones that didn't have the virus. And then they came through and they took out all of the rhodies that were infected. None of them really showed signs of the disease. They had to do an analysis in a lab to figure out which ones had the disease. It's a bad disease. It does kill. It's called Phytophthora ramorum. P. ramorum is what we call it. And it's also known as sudden oak death.
Oh, more than just rhododendrons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of plants that can be affected by it.
I think one of the challenges from that after the removal, one of the challenges particularly for the head gardener is to try to determine, okay, now what can we put into those places that are resistant so we're not going to continue the problem. And it's changed the canopy of the garden to a great degree. So there's a lot more light in the garden. Things have opened up more. I think I've only got a couple of years experience there, but it appears to me like we have a lot more weed pressure now because they have a lot more sunlight.
Yeah.
And so there's more of that to do. But there's also opportunities because we have a lot more flowers. We've got some folks that have been propagating plants and growing plants from seeds for a number of years. So they're trying out different annuals and some perennials that we can put in to kind of augment the opener areas of the garden.
Well, over 150 rhododendrons were removed.
Yeah, that's a massive hit.
So when we first heard about the disease, I thought they were just going to come in with a bulldozer and just scorched earth is what we were going to end up with. But actually, the Department of Agriculture did a good job of telling us which ones didn't need to be removed. There's quite a few left, but it is sad to think how many. And these were mature, giant rhododendrons. They weren't just a little one that you have in your backyard.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
They were like trees.
Wow.
So it was very sad to see it happen.
Yeah, I can hardly imagine how drastically that would change
The
garden. Wow.
One of the things that I find kind of neat, and I probably am working there more than the casual visitor, but because there are so many more open spaces, some of the rhododendrons that are left, you can really appreciate their structure and the way they've tried to grow. Like a lot of plants, if they're packed too closely together, they compete with each other for sunlight. So some of these rhododendrons have kind of grown in unusual contortions to get to the sunlight. And now that their neighbors are gone, you have kind of an interesting structural look to everything.
Mm-hmm. So you're finding some silver linings, even amidst the challenges. So then what else would you like listeners to know about the garden?
Well, I think it's a great place to spend a sunny day and even not so sunny days. We get a huge number of visitors. We've kind of joked that I think probably more people from outside of Lincoln City and Lincoln County know about the Connie Hanson Garden than the locals. Although there are a lot of locals, they'll take their lunch break. You know, they'll just drive over, walk over, and there's a lot of seating area throughout the garden, number of benches. There's four bridges on the property, which is kind of unusual. And yeah, it's just it's a fun place. There's a lot of pollinators now with the additional flowers and stuff. So it's a great place just to relax and enjoy nature.
And we rent the garden house. So that if somebody wants to have a small event, we're limited to how many people you can have. But it's a really pretty place. The room has huge windows that you can look out onto the garden, so even on rainy days. We have a gift shop that's open from March to November that we sell garden-related items. And we have somebody in the gift shop from 10 to 2 every day. Mm-hmm. The garden itself is open 365 days a year, from dawn to dusk. The address is 1931-1931 Northwest 33rd Street in Lincoln City. And our telephone number is 541-994-6338. And we have a couple events that we do. We do a Mother's Day tea that we sell tickets to in May, the day before Mother's Day. And we have a Christmas bazaar that we do in December.
How can listeners get involved?
If you'd like to come to the garden on a Tuesday, there's a number of ways, but I mean, you could call the garden or come on a Tuesday. That's when you'll find the garden staff there. We work from 10 to 3, but folks can volunteer for a couple hours if they want, if they don't want to commit to a whole day.
And we're always looking for hostesses, we call them, that work in the gift shop from 10 to 2. You can work one day a month, or you can work every Tuesday. We appreciate any help. It's fun to talk to the people that come in. It's only a 4-hour shift, and there's no fee to walk through the garden or donations. There's a little donation bucket outside all the time. Mm-hmm. We just welcome people however they want to volunteer. And it's all volunteers. The board is volunteer. We don't have any paid staff. There's no payroll at the Connie Hansen.
Perfect. Thank you so much for filling us in on that lovely local gardening treasure.
Sure.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
To shift focus towards some seasonal gardening tips, let's talk about pruning blueberries. Pruning blueberries is best done during the dormant season, during the height of the winter. In theory, this is around now, but it's been an unusual January, and based on where your blueberries are in the garden and how much light they've been getting, they may already be coming out of dormancy. No matter what, it's a good idea to prune any diseased, damaged, or old branches. Blueberries produce most of their fruit on branches that are 1 year old, so older branches that are declining in berry production can be removed. It's also useful to prune so that you can control the shape of the plant. In general, striving for an upright, tree-like shape makes for effective harvesting and airflow. Remove branches that are growing too low to the ground or horizontally. It's especially important to prune in the first few years after planting, both to shape the plant effectively and because growing fruit takes a lot of energy, and you want to encourage young blueberry bushes to grow larger rather than grow fruit early on. In these instances, you can prune up to 30 to 40% of the bush, removing even some of the branches that otherwise would have produced fruit. For more information on pruning blueberry bushes and blueberry bush care in general, OSU has a guide called Growing Blueberries in Your Home Garden, catalog number EC1304, that you can find by either looking up OSU Growing Blueberries or by visiting the blog post for this episode on the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association website. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!